Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:47 British Summer Time. Today is September 26th. Well, today was another risk-off day. In Asia this morning, the Shanghai market moved to a new reaction low. The Hang Seng was down by about 0.8%. The Nikkei down over 2%. The ASX down 0.25%. The ASEAN region posted negative returns in just about every market. Some of them were rather chunky. Perhaps the bulk of the selling pressure was concentrated in Europe today, with both the IBEX and the Italian MIB down in excess of 3% and the Spanish market down almost 4%. The DAX was down 2%. The FTSE was down 1.5%. As we approach the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is down about 0.33%, the S&P down 0.5%, the Nasdaq Composite down 0.85%. We have seen this market pushing ahead for the last 4 months and has held a progression of higher reaction lows. And the extent of the declines that we've seen so far this week have now put some of those progressions of higher reaction lows under pressure. If they're going to find support, then they're going to have to find support quick if those four-month uptrends are to remain intact and the benefit of the doubt is to continue to be given to the upside. It's been our view that we couldn't rule out those progressions being taken out at some point between now and the end of October. It's looking increasingly likely that we have moved into a corrective phase and that at least some markets are going to take out their progressions of higher reaction lows. The extent to which government bonds have bounced in the last few days would lend credence to that hypothesis. Eurobonds today were stronger by 1 2/3 points. The US 30-year was stronger by over 1.5 points. The UK gilt stronger by 1 1/3 points. The fact that the government bond prices had pulled back, found support, the vast majority of them in the region of the upper side of the underlying trading ranges from last year or earlier this year, or in the region of the 200-day moving averages and have bounced so emphatically, would suggest that the risk-off attitude that has gripped stock markets is creating some demand for these, what some would term risk-free assets. And to an extent, they're risk-free because we've seen over the last 3 years that central banks have done their utmost to depress yields. Also, in the government bond markets, I've been looking at the Spanish 2-year as a barometer for the perception of risk, and it is notable that the Spanish 2-year yield rallied rather impressively in here today. It suggests that there is at least a low of short-term significance, potentially medium-term significance in that market, and that is a litmus test for the perception of risk in the Eurozone. The fact that we've had some of the heaviest selling pressure in Europe today and that selling pressure filtering through into the sovereign bond markets would suggest that, or at least add further credence to the proposition that we have moved into a corrective phase for a number of these markets. And given the fact that it has been Europe where the focus of the selling has been, then that is also where the perception of risk is greatest, and not without cause. What is worth mentioning is that the TED spread in the USA and the Eurozone's version of that has been contracting steadily for the last 4 months and has reached negligible levels, in that banks can borrow at rates that approximate those of some of the strongest governments. And I think the Eurozone's version of the spread got down to less than 10 basis points. So the ECB is certainly active, and The perceptions of risk only enhance the possibility that the central bank is going to employ additional stimulus measures. But in the meantime, the likelihood is rising that we are moving into a corrective phase. And against that background, the performance of the precious metals is rather interesting in here. Silver, for example, sold off today down to $33.36. It's finished out today closer to $34. That's up just a tad on the day. Platinum, having been as low as $1,616, finished out the day closer to $1,640. And gold, having been as low as $1,736, closed out the day at $1,753. So the precious metals have rallied really remarkably impressively over the last 4 and 5 weeks. They're right at the first area of potential resistance, which is the upper side of what have been, in some cases, a year-long range. And this is the first area where they could have encountered resistance, and they have encountered resistance, but they're not pulling back in, particularly in the case of gold and silver, they haven't pulled back in the kind of dynamic fashion that has been characterized at previous occasions when they've come back to these areas. It does suggest that in the absence of a panicky sell-off, then this could be a well-earned consolidation where short-term overbought conditions can be unwound and support can be formed and built with a view to pushing on to new high ground at some point later this year or into the beginning of next year. When one looks at gold at $1,753 and encountering resistance in the region of $1,800, this is still a really quite a tight consolidation. And provided it holds half of its recent advance, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. It is heartening that these consolidations so far have been really quite tight, and the exception has been palladium. It was down by $14 today. That extended its decline. It's down now for at least 3 consecutive days, and that was really quite a large downward dynamic on Monday, or perhaps it was Friday. But that is where the technical damage has been greatest within this reactionary phase that we've been in for the last couple of weeks, whereas gold and silver and platinum look that bit more constructive. In the industrial metal complex, they were all a bit weaker in here today, but not in a particularly dynamic fashion. And given the fact that we're in a risk-off type environment at present, the industrial metals didn't pull back by nearly as much as they could have. And while there is still this risk that they will pull back a bit further, they have rallied to an extent that they also had formed short-term overbought conditions and were in need of a little bit of consolidation, and we do look like we're getting that now. Lead in particular has been a relative strength leader in the industrial metals, and although it was a little bit weaker in here today, it has one of the more encouraging chart patterns generally. Perhaps where the greatest trend deterioration in the commodity complex is evident in the grains and beans. Soybeans today was down by 38.5 cents. It's down now to 1573 cents. It's fallen enough that it has taken out a midpoint danger line stop in the middle of the underlying trading range, and it's actually now testing the lower side of that range. The current area represents the first area of potential support following this rather steep decline. But there hasn't been anything in the way of upward dynamics, and that's rather encouraging from the perspective of people that are looking at the heights to which these grains and foodstuffs actually got to, and the threat that that poses to economic growth globally. Oil today was down by $1.44, whereas natural gas was stronger by almost 10 cents. When one looks at the spread, it continues to contract. And WTI relative to natural gas is currently in the region of 30 times. People were playing the spread on the way up, and they're playing the spread on the way back down, and that is helping to support the natural gas price. And if we start to see that spread starting to deteriorate once more, that could act as an additional tailwind for natural gas prices, and indeed a headwind for oil prices. And the fact that oil prices have pulled back is rather encouraging. And it's a necessary precondition to help to bolster perceptions of economic growth. What is becoming increasingly obvious from the trips that I've had to China in the last 18 months, and last week was the third one, is that companies that have failed to innovate and have failed to adapt to the type of environment that is currently evident, where the low labor cost reliance on European and US demand for cheap goods, that type of business model has really come under a great deal of pressure. But it's also evident that the companies that are moving up the value chain, that are improving the standard of work and the expertise of their workers, and that are beginning to compete more on quality than price, seem to be doing considerably better. And companies that are attempting to access the massive savings that Chinese people have are also doing rather well in this type of situation. And it helps to exemplify the fact and the point that we've been making for a number of years, that the Chinese economy is going through a transition. Something that is increasingly evident also is that there's a great deal of uncertainty about the transition from one set of party cadres to another. And just as there was when Hu took over from Jiang Zemin, Jiang didn't want to leave go of power, and the people that were supporting him were fighting tooth and nail to hold on to as much power as they could when the new batch came in, and it's looking like a similar situation is playing out on this occasion. It's creating uncertainty. It's certainly having an effect on the stock market. But they're doing everything they can to manage this transition, and 6 months from now, the transition will have ended, and that will remove the uncertainty. And when that happens, the new administration will look to clean house, and there is an increasing likelihood that there will then be an additional economic stimulus. So while the short term remains really quite uncertain, and there is an additional degree of anxiety with regard to the market, the medium term does look brighter, and certainly the market is fundamentally cheap at the current juncture. When we look at the global economy, the European market continues to remain in an extraordinarily low growth environment, and the USA has got challenges of its own. There is uncertainty wherever we turn on the political front and then the economic front. Where there is no uncertainty is in the response of central banks to slowing velocity of money. And they will continue to print until they see that that velocity of money starts to pick back up. And since there is no prospect of that at present, we can anticipate that there will be additional liquidity infusions for as long as it takes for that velocity of money to pick up. That means that whereas the market is now moving into a corrective phase, in all likelihood, that it will be followed by another switch down the line to another risk on mode where we will see the recent highs taken out and a number of markets pushing on to new highs over the medium term. But in the short term, there are these short-term risks. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.